Wheelhouse, joined again with Sean Crawford and Charlie Wheeler standing by, also waiting for some legislators to show up on your doorstep, and sometimes it takes them a while to get their way through there. Schools were a portion of this, and we've heard it before. It's probably not a major budget item, but doing away with the regional superintendents of schools and the political jobs or friendly jobs they can hand out along with that, that's one of those bureaucracies that governors have tried to go up against before, and they had enough protection that that didn't happen. But
that's
this
right,
governor's going to try again.
Well, and he's talking about eliminating the state subsidy. Now, there is local money that's put into those regional offices. They could continue. They could consolidate. Many have already consolidated. I think there are maybe half of what there were 20 years ago, maybe even less. But there could be more consolidation. He's talking about a $14 million savings. You're right. It's not a lot of money in a budget that's well over $50 billion. But, yeah, he's going after that. He's also talking, and he didn't get into this much in the speech. In fact, I'm not sure he mentioned it at all, but he's talking about reducing state support for regular school transportation, not special education transportation, but for school districts to run buses to take kids back and forth to school. That really hits a lot of downstate districts, especially those that have a large area to cover, and even those districts that are maybe in more metropolitan areas, but also cover a large area and need buses to run. That's not going to be welcome by many school districts, of course.
And no, because those are services that have to be provided. You have to figure out some way to get the kids to school. And if the state is going to cut back on its investment in transportation, then it's going to be up to local property taxpayers or local PTA bake sales or something to try and close that gap. It struck me, too, this discussion about school consolidation. That has been a topic for probably 60, oh, longer than that. It's been like eternally a topic in Illinois. And about 20, 25 years ago, then-Governor Thompson
85,
proposed,
this I
was
think
it 85? Yeah. So it was 25 years,
yeah.
26 years, proposed something similar, and there was such a firestorm of criticism that he had to back off.
And I've been I was just going to say, Charlie, I've talked to some people about school consolidation more recently, and in recent years, one of the things the state did was create incentives for districts to, you know, financial incentives. They'll help you out a bit with some extra money, some grants to do different things if you agree to consolidate. Not many have taken advantage of that. So I think, again, what does this mean? Are they going to force the issue more? You know, it was unclear from the speech.
Well, and it occurs to me that when you consolidate, you're mostly talking about small districts that tend to be rural districts. And if you cut back on transportation money and then you take and consolidate a district, the savings from consolidation would come from closing some buildings, eliminating some administrative positions, but it will also mean that kids on the far side of the district will have longer to travel, and so you may need more bus money.
And you see consolidation efforts being discussed. They're still sometimes voted down. But you go back to that one in 1985, and that was another one of those examples of where Jim Thompson knew he was losing. So he shows up at a rural school district in a small gymnasium and basically said there's no way these schools have to consolidate after he had proposed it. I don't know if we'll see the same from Pat Quinn, but it's tough for a lawmaker if they have districts in their district that don't want to consolidate. It's tough for the lawmaker to force that upon them, I would think.
And Bill, let me just break in here, too, because we've been joined now by our two guests, two state senators, Republican Dave Luchtefeld of Oakville in southern Illinois, and we also have a Democratic Senator, Heather Staines of Chicago. I appreciate both of you joining us this afternoon. And let me just get really quickly here your first thoughts about this speech. I'll start with you, Senator Staines, your thoughts about what the governor had to say today.
You know, I think it's a start here. I think there's a real sense of shared values that we do need to make significant cuts while making investments in jobs and education and also trying to get to the job of paying our vendors and being responsible. I do think it's a start, though. When you look at the numbers, I think there's still a sense of we not quite having enough revenue supporting the projected expenditures. So I think there's work to do.
Are you saying more cuts could be made, though? You said it's a start.
Yeah, exactly. I think we're going to have to take some serious looks at how we're going to actually bring all of this into a real balance and hopefully sit down with Republicans and work on a borrowing plan that does make some sense.
We have Republican Senator Dave Lichtenfeld. Let me get your thoughts on this speech.
Well, I guess when it was over, I thought there has to be more. I mean, because he talked very little about the budget itself, about how much we would put in different places, how much would be cut, what would happen. I think he tried to put a good spin on a really bad situation. I mean, we all know that our state's in trouble. But very few facts. Now, we do have some dot points, obviously, that we've gotten from our staff. But it's still, I was just really surprised that there wasn't more.
Well, let me ask you, Senator Lichtenfeld, because it seemed as though the governor was talking to Republicans at one point when he said, if you don't go along with borrowing, come up with a plan of your own. Your response to that?
You know, we have borrowed over and over and over again, and things seem to get worse. I guess Republicans say, no, wait a minute. Is this? Are we going to push this down the road some more, borrow some more? And by the way, in our analysis of the budget, you know, he talked about paying the bills. I think he's using $1.5 billion of the borrowed money to simply run government. So, we do have a tax increase. That should bring money in. We've always said to him, take a look at more cuts. He doesn't like to do that, obviously. No one does. But we're in a situation right now where this is really serious. This is bankruptcy time if something serious isn't done, and I'm not real sure he's ready to do that.
Okay. Everyone add anything on that?
I do think there are some significant cuts in here. We have done Medicaid reform, for example, which builds in about $150 to $200 million of savings, and that will be more over time. But I agree that we need to look further and really do bring in current expenditures into line with current revenues.
What was the thing that he touched on, or that's in his budget at least, that you found the most difficult, the one that may be the most difficult to get through the legislature this year? Senator Staines.
The cuts are always a challenge, and that's also why I do think we should be doing this in a fashion where we're bringing and talking to the Republicans at the table and getting it to a comprehensive approach here that we think makes sense all around, because it is challenging, and I think having all parts at the table to sort of work out a comprehensive solution is the right approach.
And Senator Lichtenfeld?
Well, obviously, the only thing that the governor really needs and the Democrats need from us is the ability to borrow money. Everything else they can do by themselves. We would certainly like to be part, I think, of the cut process. I think we had a news conference yesterday which basically said we will be introducing some things that make some sense to cut things further than we have right now. It's sort of like, and I guess the feeling we've had for the last several years is give us what we need. And then go sit in the back of the bus. We're tired of that, and I don't think people blame us for that.
But we do have a couple of really good examples where we have worked very effectively together. The capital plan, Medicaid reform was done in a very bipartisan fashion. I think that provides good roadmap for making us to address some of the similar big areas that we've got to take a look at for reform. You know, Medicaid was huge, though. That's a third of our general revenue fund budget. So getting into that and doing that in a bipartisan fashion is great. I think there's other areas that we can do the same work on.
How important is it that the election is over with now to being able to work together to maybe get a bipartisan, more cooperation on some of these issues?
Definitely makes it more straightforward. And I also believe, we have two constitutional officers now who are Republican as well, with Judy Bartopinka as our comptroller and Dan Rutherford, a former senator who's now our treasurer. I think we should be bringing them into the picture as well.
You know, certainly after an election, it is a little bit easier. But think back over the last several elections. Mike Madigan has basically said, he's given us the impression that after the election we will fix this. Well, we've gone through at least three of those now, and finally, I think now that we are desperate, we're doing workman's comp. I hope we're doing significant workman's comp, the Medicaid reform. Those are good things. And again, as the senator said, we have worked together on that, and hopefully we can continue to do that.
I want to bring in Charlie Wheeler real quick. He wants to ask a question of both of you.
Yeah, senators, this is Charlie Wheeler. I'm in the studio. One of the specific cuts that Governor Quinn did mention was reducing the reimbursement rates for hospitals and nursing homes for services they provide to the indigent. He said that would save $550 million. Do you see that as being an easy thing for the legislature to go along with?
No, obviously it's easier to talk about cuts than to actually make them. That is significant. Certainly there'll be some hurt there when you talk about $500 million, and that will be difficult, but we do have to look at those difficult things, because just the tax increase doesn't get us out of this hole. You know, we talk about wanting to stop the tax after 4 years. If we build this into the system, there's no way that can happen. So, you know, again, this is really serious, and we have looked at serious things before, you know, such as the workman's comp, I think, which is huge. But we have to make it strong enough to make a difference.
Yes, and Director Hamas, who now oversees the Department of Health Care and Family Services, responsible for the Medicaid program, has been laying the table. We know, and she's been for a long time now saying that rate reform is coming for both nursing homes and the hospitals. So I think we'll be bringing, and I believe she expects to do that almost momentarily here, start bringing all the parties to the table to start discussing how we're going to do that rate reform and building into that these kinds of rate reductions. It's definitely not easy work.
Senator,
may I ask Senator Lechtefeld a question, too? Another specific that the governor mentioned was school consolidation. He said that we could save $100 million if we reduce the number of school districts that we have from 800 plus to, I don't know what the optimum number would be. And he also wants to eliminate the state share of the Regional Office of Education salaries. Now, Senator Lechtefeld, you've been involved in education for many, many years. What type of a reaction do you think in the rural areas, downstate Illinois, the notion of school consolidation is going to get?
Obviously, on a local level, this is always a very difficult thing. But I think we, most of us, agree that there does need to be consolidation. Now, in the past, a lot of times, it was done financially. In other words, forcing schools to consolidate because of the financial burdens that they might have or the gains they might get if they consolidate. I think we need to take a look at that. But most of us agree that there should be more consolidation. The problem is we always think it should be at the other senator's district.
Let me ask about higher education. Higher ed appears to be rather flat-funded in this budget. The governor did talk about more money for MAP grants. He also talked about the need to abolish the legislative scholarship program. Now, last year, there was a heavily debated bill and negotiated bill that got to his desk that would have put a lot of restrictions on the legislative scholarships. It would have taken, to some extent, the politics out of them, most people felt, because it would have eliminated the ability to give one to somebody who was a campaign contributor. Your thoughts today on those comments that he made, especially regarding the legislative scholarships, but then higher ed in general?
Well, I'm glad to see the investment in the MAP grants. I think affordability for higher education has been a very much growing problem. The General Assembly scholarships, I do think we should look at whether we should be eliminating those or not. I mean, I understand the need to let the universities themselves be making decisions on who is eligible for those. So I think that's a worthwhile conversation for us to have.